Intuitive healer and medium Linda Drake is the author of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. Like Esther Hicks, Linda has comforted thousands of people by offering the empowering guidance and wisdom of Abraham. Linda connects you with information to support your guidance in career, relationships, and health. Vishali has been a big fan of Linda Drake's and has come to rely on her accuracy and compassion. Linda will be appearing on You Are What You Love, the third Saturday of every month. The knowledge Linda's gained through years of communicating with Abraham offers a unique yet comforting perspective of your soul's journey through life, death, and the world beyond. For more information about Linda, to schedule a private phone session, or to purchase her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, go to www.lindadrakebooks.com.
Welcome to You Are What You Love, your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vishali.
And welcome to another exciting episode of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vishali, the wild child of the airwaves, your spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the beyond karma queen of radio and literature. I'm also the author of the book, You Are What You Love. And I am so thrilled to share with you my new release, Wisdom Rising. And you can learn more about my book, Wisdom Rising, by going to Amazon.com, or you can visit the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land at Purple V, V is in Violet, V is in Vishali, purplev.com. And there's some other exciting things you can learn about at purplev.com. We're offering some free Beyond Karma Queen stickers to anyone who would like to sign up for the email. And you can do that by emailing me, V, as in Violet, V, at purplev.com. And I'm going to be opening up the phone lines today and taking any questions from callers. So if you've got a spiritually related question, something that has to do with the inner realm of our existence, the hotline here to the Wild Woman this evening is 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline here to the studio is 877-520-1150. And I know there were a number of people last week that called in a little later into the program, and we had difficulty getting to you. So if you've got a question, my suggestion is that you call in sooner rather than later, because once we get them backed up and stacked up like pancakes, it kind of gets a little challenging to give you the time and the energy that your question and your issue most certainly deserves. So pick up that phone and call the Wild Woman at 877-520-1150. And I want to remind you all that if you're listening to this on the internet, I'm going to be in Philadelphia next month. I'm going to be at the Philadelphia Mind Body Expo at the end of October, the 24th, 25th, and 26th. I'll be giving a free lecture on Sunday, the 26th, and then a paid workshop on the fine art of not taking life personally. And if you live in the Philadelphia area and you know you're going to be at that event and you'd like to take my class, email me. You know it by now. You can recite it in your sleep. V, V as in Violet, V at purplev.com. And I will be happy to let you know how you can pre-register for that class. Also want to remind you again that I have a once-a-week email blast that goes out. It is a wonderful purple email that has my smiling face, and it lets you know about the various different radio shows that I do. I also have a Friday radio show, and in addition to this Saturday radio show. And I can send you an email once a week that lets you know how you can listen to those radio shows, what time they're on, who my guests are going to be. All the links are embedded in the email, so it's your one-stop shopping. And if you send me an email that says, yo, Wild Woman, I want to get on your email list, I will send you your very own Beyond Karma Queen sticker for signing up, because it just doesn't get any better than that. And while you're visiting purplev.com, the most beautiful purple website in all of of internet land, I want to invite you to go to Wishali's Favorite Links. If you go to Wishali's Favorite Links, there you can connect to my YouTube page. It's youtube.com/purplehazepress. But all you have to remember is purplev.com and click on Wishali's Favorite Links. And there, if you go to the YouTube link from Wishali's Favorite Links page, you will see the flash animation trailer for the book Longinus. You've heard me talk about that. I've interviewed the incredibly gifted author Stephen Maines, and his flash animation for this book Longinus is the most exquisite work of art. And if you are a fan of flash animation, or you just appreciate great works of art and things that are awesomely, breathtakingly beautiful, you're not going to want to miss this trailer. It's an entire 90 minutes, so it's not going to eat up a lot of time out of your day. But I think you'll find that it's a moment that brings a great quality to your life, and you reflect back on the exquisite beauty of this trailer. And again, you can connect to that and to author Stephen Maine's link by going to Wishali's Favorite Links on purplev.com. I also want to let you know that I am live online right now. So if you would like to join me online, you are more than welcome to do that. And again, you would come to my website, Purple V, V as in violet, purplev.com. And there you'll see a little button in the lower right-hand corner that says VChat. And you would click on VChat and register and come into the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. We've already got a good rousing crowd going on here, and we've got some very interesting communication going on. And including, of course, a presence by the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. She is the Duct Tape Goddess. And you can learn more about the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe by going to juliakcole.com. She's probably one of the most exquisite psychic mediums it's ever been my pleasure to know. And Julia and I have had many an interesting normal and paranormal romp together. And it's good to see you in the chat room, Empress. You're looking duct tapefully delightful, as always. And I want to remind you again, while you're visiting purplev.com, you can go to V's Listening Lounge. And once in the Listening Lounge, you can there download any of my 100% commercial-free radio shows absolutely free. I've had a lot of fascinating people on the show, and it's a great resource, and that's why it's there. I also want to encourage you to stay, because the last 15 minutes of this broadcast, we are going to have the fascinating Dr. Walter Simkew on, and he's doing an event in Los Angeles about reincarnation and historical figures that have reincarnated again. And I know that he is one of the most inexhaustibly fascinating people, and you will not want to miss him sharing about his event. And I see by my psychic connection that we have Susan in Camarillo on the line. So why don't we... Susan, how are you, darling?
Good.
How are you, Dina? I'm outrageously blessed, darling, but then that's my job. And how are you, girlfriend?
I'm great. Hey, I love your website. It's beautiful. Purple's one of my favorite colors.
You are truly a woman of good taste. Is that not the most truthful line in advertising you've ever heard, that it's the most beautiful website in all of internet land?
It is. It's very nice. I like getting the announcements also. It's all very timely and like minds. I like to know what's going on, because I moved here recently, so it's nice to feel connected with things going on.
Great. Well, welcome to your larger community, sweetheart.
Thanks.
And how can I be of service to you this evening, wild one?
Well, I have an opportunity to go teach English in China. I feel like I really want to learn to understand that culture better, because I think it's an important country for the future. And so, you know, I've had a lot of job offers, and I finally settled on one, and I'm hoping that it has good energy for me.
But more than that, sweetheart, there is a creative opportunity for you here. One of the things that people have a tendency to forget, because the physical world is so in our face, mm-hmm. and it so gets our attention with things like paying your bills, and putting gas in the car and dating and paying our taxes and does this outfit make my butt look big? That we forget that really what we're here for is to resolve some inner issues, to grow on an inner level. And the outer world is a great, convenient vehicle for allowing us to do that because of the things that it puts us up against.
Absolutely.
And there was an issue that you wanted to creatively respond to in a different context, in a way that gave you an empowerment edge, in a way that you felt when you entered into this issue to begin to resolve it, to begin to relate to it differently, you entered into it with an advantage of perspective clarity. And that's what I'm getting on an inner level, this job opportunity in China is really about.
Okay.
I know on the outer world that it looks like it's teaching English and finding a place to live and
right.
and integrating with that culture. But one of the things that we know about China is that females have not always been wildly embraced as just as valuable as the male of the species.
Yes.
And when you go there, you're not going to find yourself in a vacuum. You're going to find yourself in the flow of that cultural belief system. And you're going to find yourself seeing the underpinnings of it. But you're going to go in there and you're going to see the underpinnings of it. And you're going to see it from a perspective that isn't enmeshed in the culture. You're going to go in there with a mindset that is going to allow you permission to walk around the issue and to see it from a different perspective. And what I want you to pay particularly close attention to is when you find yourself sharing with other people about these issues, when you find yourself advocating for the underdog, for the female life form that has less value, I want you to really listen to what you're saying because you're really addressing your own issues about worth. And this is going to give you an opportunity to do it in a way that really creates contrast, that really brings it out. You're not going to have a problem finding your voice, articulating, advocating for, and negotiating for more conscious agreement about people recognizing and owning their worth. And that's what you went there to do, is for you to say, oh, I get it. The more I hear myself talking about this, the more I realize this is something I needed to hear.
They say we teach what we most need to learn also.
Isn't that the truth, sweetheart? That's why I'm on the air.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know it's not all about teaching. I'm a social worker by nature, and I think there's so many more levels to be there besides the vehicle of teaching for myself and for them.
So your background is in social work?
Yes.
No wonder. So you're really prime for this. One of the things I want to take a moment and point out, Susan, is we don't have love as spiritual creatures having a human experience. We don't have it. It's not a possession. It's not something that we have to earn. We don't have it. We are it. And one of the things that I want to point out is that when we understand that our value and power and worth is that we don't have love, we are it, that allows us to free ourselves from this concept that we have to do something to be deserving and worthy of it. We simply own it because we don't have it. We are it. Is this making sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
And one of the things that this culture is particularly based on is this notion that men perform a certain task or they perform a certain service that makes them more valuable. Mm-hmm. And it isn't about what they do in the outer world. It isn't about a series of stupid human tricks that you perform to earn that. We don't have it. We are it. And what the challenge is for us, especially in our Puritan work ethic America, is to own our value and our power and worth as a force of love right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for certain measurements. We're looking for certain outer world conditions to give it to us. We are not willing to step up and take ownership of it as a state that pre-exists, because that is our nature and we are simply indivisible from it. We can't be separated from the fact that we don't have love. We are it. We come here to claim it. We come here to have an opportunity to practice it. The thing about life on the planet Earth is that it throws a myriad of different conditions at us, because the idea here is to practice owning our divinity unconditionally. So every moment in life is an opportunity to be love now, to be love now, to be love now. And when you go there and you embody this understanding that you are divine love, and you've come here because this is a wildly blessed opportunity for you to share more love, for you to share more understanding, for you to share more quality of life, for you to share more tolerance. When you go there with that as the embodiment of who you are, if that's your authentic and genuine point of view, the people around you will feel it. This is what the young women in China are looking for. They're looking for somebody that shows up that says, you don't have to buy into this doing thing. You don't have to buy into your ancestral structure of doing or owning or your ancestral power structure of who has permission to do what. You can be divine love right now because that's what you came here to do.
That idea of being perfect who you are, and it's not based on what you do or what fancy techniques you have in your hip pocket, but your presence is more valuable.
Absolutely. Your owning your divinity was never based on stupid human tricks.
Mm-hmm.
How your ability to perform stupid human tricks. Although that's not a popular notion, and it's nothing that you're going to find most of the people in our culture advocating for. But the truth of the matter is that it's not a superficial engagement to own one's divinity in the 21st century. It's not a superficial relationship to own that you are divine love, whether you can or can't pay your bills, whether you do or don't get a job, whether you get asked out on a date or you find yourself in divorce court. There's plenty of opportunities in 21st century planet Earth to find things in the outer world that want to constantly come in and strip us of our divinity. And one of the things that you're wanting a different perspective on is how those insidious self-worth, self-disempowerment issues come in and erode our relationship with our divinity. And this is something that you're going to find is going to be fleshed out when you go to China. Uh-huh. It's something that is going to make itself tangibly apparent. And any of the subtle and insidious things that you've allowed to kind of come in the back door because you didn't really catch them on your radar,
uh-huh,
isn't going to be the case when you come back. You're going to get a master's degree in it. But the gift that I want you to see is that when you're talking to these young women, when you're sharing with them a different point of view, you're really talking to a part of yourself that needs to hear this. And to approach that relationship with the quality of love that you would want somebody to give you.
Huh.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, it is. That's good.
When you did the social work, was there a certain emphasis or speciality of social engagement that you worked in?
I worked a lot with kids on coping skills and did counseling and kids that were abused.
Okay, so we're seeing that this is something that you've really been building momentum on, because I know that when you deal with the children that are abused, the first thing that takes a hit, the first thing that becomes injured, whether they were beaten or verbally abused, the first thing that becomes a casualty is their self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to their issue of being capable, well, that's obviously totally driven by self-worth. So, girlfriend, you're going for a real deep PhD. You're going for, and I, you know, mean that in the piled higher and deeper joke way, but you're really going for a real PhD in understanding this issue, dismantling this issue, and beginning a planetary global dialogue that confronts this head on, that's based on our rooting, our understanding of who we are in something timeless and eternal that the world cannot touch, because we don't have divine love, we are it, and no one and no thing has the power to change that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's really, I'm going to go home and write all these things down.
And feel free, sweetheart, to come back to purplev.com in a couple of days when the show is posted and download it. And if you want to email me, sweetheart, V as in Violet, V at purplev, since you've already signed up for the email list,
yeah.
Email me and I'll send you some Purple Beyond Karma Queen stickers to dress up your life with.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really given me a whole different piece to reflect on. And, yeah, I think I'll walk with more grace going there and really, like you say, that gets, I don't want to be fear-based when I go about will I be a good teacher or not, but to go there walking in love, knowing that I am that, and that is one of the most important things.
You're being guided there, yes, as a love ambassador. Know that you're fully supported in being there. That's your story. You can stick to it. We don't recognize the power of fear because we are too busy embodying the divine love that we came here to share.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Excellent, my darling, and you rock on, wild woman.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, darling. I want to remind the listeners that you are listening to You Are What You Love. I'm Mushali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the Beyond Karma Queen of radio and literature. I'm the author of the book You Are What You Love and the newly released Wisdom Rising. And I want to invite you to my website, Purple V. V is in Violet. V is in Mushali. The most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. And you can also email me v@purplev.com if you would like to get on my weekly email, tell you about the different radio shows. I have a Friday radio show and the Saturday radio show. Also tell you about different events that I'm going to be at. I'm going to be at Philadelphia Mind Body Expo in October, and I'm going to be in West Hollywood in November. Sunday, November 16th, I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree. I'll be giving a free live talk and signing copies of my book, Wisdom Rising. So please, take something purple and wild out of your closet and come join me. I want to also remind you that if you have a question for the wild woman, question of any spiritual inner nature, anything about your inner life, maybe you have a philosophical spiritual question, the door is open. You're welcome to call the wild woman here at 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline here to the wild woman is 877-520-1150. 1150. And I see that we also have the lovely and charismatic Jim from Santa Monica. Why don't we bring Jim on?
Hello.
Jim, my darling, how are you?
Okay. I've been listening to your show, what you say in the very beginning, where you say what you're here to do. And I listen to like three different things that you say you're here to do, and I go, I'll take one from every column. I tried to shake up my life this year. I tried hang gliding, and I took up guitar, and I said yes to people, fix me up with someone. And nothing seems to have changed anything in my life. It's all just more of the same.
Okay, Jim.
So.
I'm glad you put that on the table. And one of the things I want to ask you, Jim, is in the spiritual world, it's not what you do. It's not the hang gliding that you do. It's, you know, not the dating that you do. It's not what you do. It's why you do it. And I want to take a moment and really bring some total heaviosity to this statement. It's not what you do in the spiritual realm that has gravity. When you're reviewing your life at the end of your life, and you're reviewing the different events and different things, what's going to have gravity in interpreting it and understanding your growth isn't what you did. It's not whether you climbed Mount Everest. It's going to be why you did what you did. So, bearing that in mind, when you said you took the hang gliding classes, you said to your friends, okay, go ahead and tell Pamela Anderson I'm taking calls now. I see the what that you were doing. The what seems clear, but share with me what in your heart, what was your inner motivation? Why were you doing this? When you were looking at this, why were you saying, I want to do X, Y, and Z?
Because I've been working, I started my own business a few years back, and I've been working like 7 days a week for the past 8 years. I stopped dating 8 years ago. I stopped pretty much growing. You know, I do the same thing every week. I go to the same restaurants on the way home from the gym. I play tennis 3 times a week. I work out 3 times a week. My life is so structured, and I'm a progressive liberal, you know? I just don't feel like I'm growing. I'm just getting older.
Okay, so you did this because you wanted to make a commitment to your growth.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you something. When you were taking your hang gliding classes, did you enjoy it, Jim? Was it good for you?
I loved it.
And are you saying that was not you? There was no growth there.
Well, see, I loved it, but it's $120 a class.
And okay.
This time, business wise, it just doesn't seem like something. You know, yeah. That's a big commitment.
Okay, that's fine. But the point is that you broke up your routine.
Yeah.
And you said, I want to practice something out of the box for me. And the why I want to do it is because I want to bring growth to my life. That brings more spontaneity.
Yeah.
That brings more fun.
Yeah.
That brings more juiciness. I think you were very successful, sweetheart. Now, whether you continue that for other reasons in your life, whether it balances financially in your life or not, is pretty irrelevant. Right there, the why you were doing this is to create growth in your life that brought all these principal qualities that make life worth living, I'd say you got more than $120 worth of bang for your buck, darling.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I was getting is that there's an inner narrative that you run about yourself that is really the issue. And this is why I'm asking you these questions about these changing aspects of your life. Because it sounds like in changing some of these aspects of your life, you're actually being incredibly successful in the most important reason about why you're doing them. But you're the last one on the bus to see that. You're still in this position of seeing yourself in a very critical point of view. Now, let's move on to the dating. Did you have fun with the dates?
No. No.
Did you learn something about yourself?
Yeah, I did. I really did.
And would you say that was a valuable growth experience?
Yes.
Fabulous. Honey, you're batting 1,000 out of this. What I'm suggesting is you take a step back from your life, Jim. And really, I want you to look at your life from a completely different criteria. I have in my book, You Are What You Love, I talk about this a lot. And I don't mean this what I'm about to share with you. I don't mean it in a morbid way at all. I have what I call the deathbed litmus test. And that's this. When I'm looking at certain things in my life and I'm imagining I'm on my deathbed, are you going to look back on that hang gliding class that you took, that hang gliding event, and say, you know, I really should have structured that $120 more in a IRA Roth?
No.
Right. Are you going to look back and say, you know, maybe I didn't have fun on those dates, but forgetting what I learned about it, I really should have stayed at home, and I probably should have watched some reruns of Gilligan's Island again?
No. Yeah, I gave myself props for putting myself out there and taking chances.
Exactly. What I want you to do is I want you to start stepping back from your life, and I want you to start owning and seeing that you are wildly successful at the most important intention in this equation, and that's why you're doing it. Because you're looking at the outer world, and you're looking for a system of checks and balances. Well, I didn't get laid with Pamela Anderson. I'm not engaged to be married. This hang gliding thing drained my pocketbook, and it's not really a drug of choice that I can continue to do. And I'm looking at all those ways of looking at this, and I'm saying they're not authentic, they're not useful, and most importantly, they're contaminating you and distracting you from getting value out of the fact that you have been wildly successful in your intention. You're breaking up your box that you're living in. You're bringing in new spontaneity. You're giving yourself permission to learn. And even if that permission to learn doesn't yield what your ego would like, doesn't yield the most ideal conditions, you're still growing, you're still learning, and you're still shaking up your world. And you're bringing in new potential and new opportunity. And that is wildly successful, my darling. So instead of looking at this as I'm doing all these and I'm not getting any positive results, I would say it's not a matter of I'm doing these and I'm not getting positive results. I'd say it's a matter of reevaluating how you're looking at this. And if you don't start acknowledging where you're being successful, and if you don't start owning where you are really moving in a direction that is improving the quality of your life, you're not going to really get the benefit from all the growth that you're doing. And that would be the greater shame of the loss of the $120 and the bad dates. Is this making any sense?
Yeah.
So what I'm suggesting, Jim, is let's try the deathbed litmus test. And next time you go to criticize yourself, because what I'm really getting is that it's hard for you to trust the decisions that you make because of the way that you have a tendency to run an inner narrative of judging and criticizing yourself according to what you think the results should be. Forget what they should be. This isn't what you're doing. It's why you're doing it. Why you're doing it is more important than the what you're doing. And what I'm suggesting, sweetheart, is that if you begin to look at this from on my deathbed, am I going to regret that I took this chance? Am I going to feel bad about making myself available for that opportunity? If the answer is no, stop telling yourself that you're not doing it right. Stop criticizing yourself for being in a rut and not getting the responses that you want. Life is a journey. Life is, I like to compare it to a transcontinental trip. Have you ever driven across the United States before, Jim?
No.
What's the longest car ride you've ever taken?
11 hours.
Okay, where'd you drive from?
Well, my folks were driving from New Jersey to Maine.
Oh, okay. So, and you were a kid or something?
I was a kid, driving, riding backwards, reading a 3D comic book without the glasses.
Fabulous, honey.
Yeah.
Now, when you, I'm sure that 11-hour trip felt like 3 days to you when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have judged that entire trip by one stop at the gas station, by one bathroom stop, one gas fill up, would you have judged that entire trip by one stop along the way?
No.
Right. So why are you doing that with this part of your life? Your life is an infinite journey, and you're looking at just this little segment of it and saying, look, I'm stuck in a rut. I'm not getting the results that I wanted. And I would beg to differ. If the results that you wanted are to grow in different ways, and to bring different qualities into your life, and for you to learn more about yourself, you are wildly successful. Here's the bottom line, Jim, and I write about this a lot in my book, You Are What You Love. We have two forms of consciousness. The first form of consciousness isn't something actually that we have, it's what we are. All of us are divine love. You don't have it. You are it. That is your original, eternal, unshakable form of consciousness. That is the quality of consciousness, Jim, that you brought with you when you came to the rock. And it's a quality of consciousness you'll take with you when you're done here and you're ready to move on to your next learning experience. But when you come here, you inherit a second form of consciousness. And in the West, we call it the ego. And the ego is a teeny tiny limited form of consciousness. Your spiritual identity, your love consciousness, is unlimited and eternal. And you came here to answer questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning and purpose of my life and my relationships? What's my value? What's my power? What's my worth? And your love consciousness is the only form of consciousness that's large and eternal and comprehensive enough to even begin to understand those questions, let alone answer them. The ego is a different thing because you are divine love and you're eternal and unlimited. You don't have a form of consciousness small and stupid enough to know how to fill out a 1040 form or how to make a 3-minute egg or when to put gas in the car or when to change your oil. That's why we inherit an ego, because an ego is a limited form of consciousness for solving limited problems in a limited world. On our road to becoming spiritually mature, we have to, at some point, begin to recognize when in our life we're solving a bigger picture problem and when we're solving a smaller picture problem. When are you solving a temporal problem in the temporal world? When you got to figure out what to wear, when you're balancing your checkbook, when you're trying to get more out of your life, and you're trying to understand more about who you are, the ego has no place in diagnosing your life. And what's happening, sweetheart, is instead of letting your spiritual identity communicate with you and guide you and let you really get the feedback about how wildly successful you are being in these experiments that you're taking and these out-of-the-box journeys that you're doing, you're letting the ego try and tell you what the success was. The ego doesn't know. It's not going to get it because it's a limited form of consciousness. If you want to figure out what to wear when you get up in the morning, let your ego tell you whether you want to wear boxers or briefs. But when it comes to understanding how to relate to life, how to get more out of your relationships, and how to learn to be self-reflective, and how to show up in a way in which you're constantly pushing the envelope of life and giving it an opportunity to give you new experiences, new perspectives, new ways of relating. The ego has absolutely no business in judging, criticizing, or giving you commentary on your growth. And knowing when to let the ego talk to you, and when to let your spiritual identity talk to you, is the difference between having a life worth living and getting bitch slapped by the ego. Is this making sense, darling?
Yes.
So when we're looking back on your question now, is it taking on a different quality of understanding and perspective? Can you see now where your ego is saying, well, you know, Jim, you didn't do this right because you didn't get X, Y, and Z result, when the what is irrelevant? It's the why that is really where your value is. And if we're looking at it for just the why, you've done profoundly great growth. And you should really be patting yourself on the back. And you should really be saying, you know what? I've learned to break a lot of old patterns. And I'm starting to establish a new practice of growing outside of my old self-identification and claim a different life that isn't controlled by my old past patterns. And that is wildly successful, my friend.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you still there, Jim?
I'm here.
Once again, your ego is not going to ever tell you this, Jim, because your ego doesn't know. It can't see. It's a limited form of consciousness for solving limited problems. And this is one of the big litmus tests that I share in my book, sweetheart, for people that are wanting to know, well, how do I know if the ego is talking to me or my spiritual identity is talking to me? Let me give you the real quick shortcut to that. It's real easy. Your spiritual identity is unlimited divine love. It's never going to tell you anything limiting. It's never going to take you in an interior emotional place that is limiting. It's never going to have you define, experiencing, or relating to yourself in a limiting way. But if you're listening to a message that's going off in your mind, in your nervous system, that makes your gut tight, makes your jaw tight, makes your shoulders hunch, takes you to a limited place about your perception about yourself, about an understanding of your value, your power, your worth. If you're giving your attention to some definition, some understanding, some intelligence that takes you to any limited place, that's the ego, because the ego is a limited form of consciousness for solving limited problems in a limited world. That's all it knows. That's all it can take you to. It can't take you to any other destination. And if you're solving a problem, if you're wanting to know how to balance your checkbook when the three-minute egg is done, those are limited things. You either added 2 + 2 correctly, or, you know, you either timed the three-minute egg over or under. I mean, those are all limited self-contained problems. But you're understanding who you are and understanding how wildly successful you are anytime you're willing to take a risk and invest in your own personal growth. Those are all eternal, unlimited forms of perception, require an unlimited form of consciousness, and depend on you going to an inner, internal place of an unlimited dialogue for you to really put it in its right perspective, for you to really get... You took this hang gliding challenge, this hang gliding classes, and you went on these dates because you were looking for a quality of experiential knowledge. The ego can't take you there. Your spiritual identity can. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So, my darling, are we feeling better about the hang gliding and the dates?
Yes.
Fabulous, Angel.
Okay.
And from now on, you're really understanding this isn't what you do, that you didn't come to the earth to perform a series of stupid human tricks. It's why you're doing it. And if you're doing it because you want to grow more, you want to learn more about yourself, and you want to take yourself out of any old practice that restrains and limits and inhibits you in any way, you're rocking, dude.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling, Jim. And next time, I'm imagining that your next date is going to light up like a pinball machine, honey. You go out there and rock on, my love.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And I want to remind you all that you're listening to You Are What You Love. And I'm Wishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess. And I'm online here, and you're welcome to join me online live. We have a very lively chat room crowd going on here. You're welcome to come to Purple V. V is in violet, purplev.com. And in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little button that says VChat. And you're welcome to click on VChat and join us in the most beautiful purple chat room in all of internet land. I also want to remind you that if you would like to sign up for my weekly email blast, I send out a beautiful purple email with my lovely smiling face on it that tells you about the different radio shows that I do. I have a Friday radio show in addition to the Saturday radio show. And if you would like to learn more about that and the guests that I have on, you are welcome to email me, v@purplev.com. And if you email me requesting to get on the email list, I will send me your snail mail address, and I will put a Beyond Karma Queen sticker in the mail, absolutely free of charge. And I also want to remind you, while you're visiting purplev.com, the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land, that you can go to V's favorite links. And V's favorite links will have a connection to YouTube. And on YouTube, you can see the Longinus trailer, the most incredible, breathtaking flash animation trailer. You can also see some videos that the Wild Woman has done. You can see me in all of my Wild Woman action. And you can check out the different events that I have going on. I'm going to be in Philadelphia in October, and I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree in November, and I would love to meet you. You're welcome to come out and see me then. We are expecting a call from Dr. Walter Simkew, and I see by my psychic connection here that he has not called in yet. So if you have another question that you would like to ask, you're welcome to call into the studio at 877-520-1150. Again, that's 877-520-1150. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is something that Jim brought up. And I think it's something that we can't talk about enough. And that is, it's not why we do things in life. It's not what we do in life. It's why we do it. And one of the interesting things about people who have had near-death experiences and gone to the other side is that what they tell you is when they review their life and they're going over it, there's never a discussion about what they did. Discussion is always about why they did it. That if there was a secret decoder ring to understanding life, there isn't, but if there was, it would be examining why you do things, because that brings us to a deeper inner level. That brings us more in touch with our spiritual identity, because what we do is often defined by the ego. Why we do it is going to be defined by our spiritual identity. And if you're ever wondering whether you're listening to your ego or whether you're listening to your heart, whether you're listening to your spiritual identity, ask yourself if you're measuring your life by what you did. Did I get the house? Did I get the job? Did I get the marriage? Did I get what I expected to have at this point in my life? It's not the what you did. It's the why you did what you did. Did you not get married because it wasn't the right relationship? Did you not buy a house because it turned out that you valued investing in other things in your life? Examining our life from the point of view of it's not what we do, it's why we do it. I think you'll find that it brings great value and a deeper understanding to you shifting from listening to the tyranny of the ego to listening to your heart. And I see that actually someone in the studio has a question. So why don't we bring them on? Are you there, sweetheart? Hello? Yoo-hoo, Woodstock. I see you have a question. Woodstock, are you there? Apparently, Woodstock has lost her voice. So, okay, I see. She's text messaging her question. I see. When those in your life that you love are at times keeping you down, how do you protect yourself from that? How do you shut yourself away from that? That's a really good question. And one of the things that I want to say, sweetheart, is that we're here to embody being divine love now. And one of the important things to remember is that most people are acting out and creating a certain level of suffering in their life because they don't know that they're love now. They can't remember that. They're allowing their ego to push them around and tyrannize them. So when we're allowing people in our lives, when we're hearing dialogue from people in our lives tell us things that are derogatory or negative, the first thing that we want to do is realize it has nothing to do with us. The first thing you want to do is take a step back and not take it personally. And it's important to start recognizing when people are speaking out of a knee-jerk situation of not knowing that they're love. When they're not knowing that they're love, the first thing that they're going to do is that they're going to find fault with other people, because that distracts them from feeling that they are riddled with faults that they can make no inner peace with themselves. So understanding that when people that say that they love you, but they're acting in a very derogatory way, what they're really doing is acting out. They're acting out from a place that screams that they don't know that they're love. They don't know what their value and their power and their worth is. that they're in a place where their ego is mercilessly bitch-slapping them, and to understand that what they're doing is they're telling you something more about themselves than they could ever begin to intimate about you, and standing back and understanding that why we're here is to understand and own that we are divine love, and we are either doing that or we're not. And I want to remind you all again that you're welcome to email me, v@purplev.com. If you would like to get on the email list, and I will send you your own fabulous Beyond Karma Queen sticker. I would like to thank again all of our listeners for calling in. I want to thank Susan and Jim. And I want to remind you again, I will be here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. I also have a show on Friday. You're welcome to email me, v@purplev, and I will send you updates on all that information. And until we do it again next week, rock on, babies.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Waishali. To order Waishali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Waishali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.